sometimes, you're in the practical, sometimes you're not even growing, you fall asleep.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's a matter of a different body, different
body. Well,
we're
trying to be finished by
that. No, it's great. Actually, I'm a wife. It's really beautiful. I can't just go up with the grams. I'm sure it's me. Okay, here we go. Okay. Krishna kirtana gayana nartana paro Krishna kirtana gayana nartana paro
Asmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Okay, so do we have Narada Muni's instructions on Srima Bhagavatam? Yeah, this is the one. I push this button here, right? Okay, I'm getting a little light. Okay. 1-5-22. Nana Shastra Vicharanai Kanipanau. Hey Kanipanau, very expert. Nana Shastra, looking at all the revealed scriptures, like the Quran, the Bible, Shakespeare, what people accept, taking their literature. So here's Narada's instructions. He says, you've already written so many books, so many wonderful epics, the Mahabharata, Alice in the Wonderland Nights, Aesop's Fables, so many things. But they're lacking the idea of an infallible hero, somebody who never fails like that. So I'm James Bond, right? That's why you like the movie. Okay, that's what you're lacking. And then he kind of summarizes everything in this verse, 1-5-22.
Idam,
he,
pungsas,
tapasa,
shutasya,
va.
Idam, he, pungsas,
tapasya, shutasya, va. Svistasya,
suktasya,
cha. Svistasya suktasya cha. Buddhi dattaya ho.
Buddhi dattaya ho.
Idam hi pumsas. Tapasa shutasya va. Svistasya.
Suktasya.
Chaburi dadayo. Avichotar te lamibir nirupito yadutamashloka gunanubharanam. Okay. Learned circles, right? You can go to different circles. But here in Australia, we're going to go to the learned circle, whatever that means, have positively concluded that the infallible purpose of the advancement of knowledge, which is austerity, study of the Vedas, sacrifice, chanting of hymns, and charity, this is how you advance knowledge, culminates in the transcendental descriptions of the Lord, who is defined in choice poetry. Which Lord? Okay. This is the preacher piece. Learned circles have positively concluded that the infallible purpose of the advancement of knowledge,
which is
namely
austerities,
study of the Vedas,
sacrifice,
chanting of hymns,
charity.
Culminates in
transcendental discussions
of the Lord,
who
is defined in choice poetry. This is a sutra. This is a sutra. To qualify as a sutra, a phrase must contain the maximum amount of information in the minimum number of words and be grammatically perfect. So that's also a sutra, right? Yeah. So very condensed. So Prabhupada Maharaj told me that Prabhupada told him that he wrote this verse for preaching to the scientists. Okay. Human intellect, Prabhupada says, is developed for advancement in learning. Okay. Human intellect is developed for advancement in learning, in art, science, philosophy, physics, chemistry, psychology, economics, political science, etc. By culture of such knowledge, the human society can attain perfection of life. This perfection of life culminates in the realization of the Supreme Being, Vishnu. Shruti therefore directs
that those who are actually advanced in learning should aspire to the service of Lord Vishnu. Unfortunately, persons who are enamored by the external beauty of Vishnu Maya do not understand that culmination of perfection of self-realization depends on Vishnu. Vishnu Maya means sense enjoyment, which is transient and miserable. Okay? Those who are entrapped by Vishnu Maya utilize advancement of knowledge for sense enjoyments, nuclear weapons to defeat our enemies, birth control pills so we can have unlimited sex like pigeons. Yes. Okay. This is considered the two greatest advances in science, atomic bombs and birth control pills. Yeah. Yeah. The whole story here and all these things. They have come, okay, yeah. Okay, yeah. Sri Narada Muni has explained that all paraphernalia of the cosmic universe is but an emanation from the Lord, yeah, by his inconceivable energy, okay. Yeah. All these things have come out of his energy, they rest on him. Nothing, therefore, is different from him. Nothing, okay. When advancement of knowledge, I want to keep pronouncing knowledge. Yeah. That happens because that was the original pronunciation. It was German. Knowledge. Everything was pronounced. Knowledge. You know? And actually in English they give it up. That pronunciation was what give it up when they decided to spell it this way. But that's kind of a feeling of classical heritage. They spelled it this way and so on. Okay. When advancement of knowledge is applied to the service of the Lord, the whole process becomes absolute. Okay, it comes down here. Therefore, all the sages and devotees of the Lord have recommended that the subject matter of art, science, philosophy, physics, chemistry, psychology, and all other branches of knowledge should be wholly and solely applied in the service of the Lord. Art, literature, poetry, painting, etc. may be used in glorifying the Lord. The fiction writers, poets, and celebrated literateurs are generally attracted, engaged in writing on sensuous themes. But if they turn towards the service of the Lord, they can describe the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. Valmiki was a great poet, and similarly Vyasadeva is a great writer. And both of them have absolutely engaged themselves in delineating the transcendental activities of the Lord. And by doing so, have become immortal. Yeah. Science, philosophy can be applied. Yeah. A great scientist should endeavor to prove the existence of the Lord on a scientific basis. Yeah. The Prabhupada wrote the whole purport specific for this idea of working in this area. So it's just a broad movement. Maya, Tatam, Vidam, Sarvam. Prabhupada says everything coming from Krishna. Everything can be used for Krishna. And the process of Sankirtan means to find your relationship with Krishna. And maybe if you can find it eternally, transcendentally, okay. But even, for example, at least in Varnashram, first initiation to figure out, I am a servant of Krishna. I work for the bank of Brisbane. They pay, I work. What are you going to do? I don't know yet, but they hire me. They pay, I work. Okay, management stream, guardian stream, yeah, okay. Yeah. So the second initiation you begin to figure out, I'm Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, you take second initiation, or you don't take second initiation. No, don't need it. Right? So you begin to clear. Now your service starts to become promises. Now it becomes professional devotional service. He says second chapter of Gita is not sufficient to make anything clear. Yeah. So the third chapter, he shows Arjuna how he can engage in devotional service by doing his actual practical natural activities and so on. You know? Yeah. You see so many people, you're going along and they get caught. Ratha Yatra is a great way to engage so many people. If they engage, as soon as the Ratha Yatra is over, they all kind of fade away or something. You know? So this is the whole point. Even Prabhupada's God brothers, and I know who's it done? Govinda Maharaj, Srila Maharaj's disciple, Prabhupada's God nephew, he said, before anybody even puts one finger in the West to preach, he has to pay his dandabhas to Swami Maharaj, to Prabhupada, like that. So very much glorifying. Many times they were trying to apply these things they knew. We know more than Prabhupada and this and that. Maybe they did more of the texts and stuff. But trying to apply it in the West and everything else, so many frustrations. So finally, Govinda Maharaj told all of his converted ISKCON disciples and stuff, however Swami Maharaj taught you to do it that way. So very, very great personality. You can take this and apply it in so many practical ways. And myself, I have this like natural inclination towards intellectual and cultural programs, and so on. Rock Talk, our good disciple, Food for Life, which is the, so on. So everybody got a different nature, different qualification and stuff. So kind of be talking about what we've been doing a little bit here. I joined ISKCON, I did whatever was necessary. The first job I got was treasurer, right? At the university, they gave me these tests, vocational interest tests. I got 90%, 70%, 95%. I had 10% interest in becoming a treasurer, becoming a banker. So the first job I got was a banker, a treasurer. And I was really thinking, it seems like maybe Krishna's like giving me this so that I'm going doing this, not because I like it. Dealing with money and all this kind of stuff. I would sit there. I remember the first time I was actually living in the temple. I used to go to the Sunday feast, Hari Bol, chanting, good food, good music, you know. And I was actually a devotee. And I remember I was sitting there looking at these bags of money that the devotees had collected. I had machines that were sorted, everything else. I just sat on the floor and was like looking at it. And then the kirtan went on, the lecture went on, the kirtan went on, prasadam was distributed. And finally, I just, jnana yoga, yeah, temple president wants this, yeah, okay. So it's like, it was just, but I was really to purify my intelligence about who I am and what I'm doing and stuff. So, okay, you're ready for this. We're going to give you a service which you don't like, or which you don't, which you do, because some services you don't like them, but you do. Okay, it's not your karma. Yeah, it's easy to do a service which is your karma, if you're a cook and everything else and so on. But the next level is doing it just because you understand this is what I should be doing, right? And then you control your senses the best you can, even though it's not natural for them, it's not 100%. You know, you've got to eat too much or sleep too much or get a little more prestige than you know you need, but you can't do the service without that, right? How are you going to be a GDC secretary without prestige? You can't do it. The temple president has to have prestige and these kind of things. That's your motivation. And people are like saying, Jai Prabhu, saying that. Yes. So, intellectually, you can understand it. I don't need as much respect, but I can't do the service. It's not my nature. I'm not a Kshatriya. And I have no interest in this. So to get it, I have to have like a car and this kind of stuff. Oh my God, let me get out of this service as soon as I can. So Jnana Yoga. So my karma yoga, okay, Krishna let me out of it. I was complaining too much. So Bhakti Sudhama Maharaj came to San Francisco, Berkeley. And by the way, oh my God, So I was working with him at the Bhakti Vedanta Institute and many different programs. It was very frustrating because I started in electrical engineering, changed to biological engineering, and graduated in psychology. So I'd already been to the science thing. And it was very boring, very limited stuff. So I got involved again, and I was trying to do what I could do. But very frustrating, everything else. But Prabhupada wants this. Does he really want it? Yeah. So I talked to Krishna Maharaj about it, and he said, well, Prabhupada said over and over again for his entire last year, scientific preaching is my number one preaching program. I want it. Okay. Then I talked to Ravindra Sroop about it. He was much more intellectual and stimulating. But why didn't you become a scientist? Why did you get your PhD in literature if you know it's the most important thing? He said, because I can't stand it. Oh, okay. Yeah, you can still accept that this, one of the most important preaching programs, but doesn't mean you're going to fit in as a scientist. You know? There weren't that many scientists actually in the Bhakti Vedanta Institute. There were just as many cooks as there were scientists. Prabhupada said the formula is nice reception. Very, you come with your Sir John Eccles comes with Lady Eccles, Nobel Prize winner to a beautiful building. And beautiful girls and sarees receive them and say, oh, please come in, let us take your coats and hats. Go in next to the fire. We have some beverages there. The other Nobel laureates are already there waiting. There's an Irish setter there. Very nice reception. So that's the first aspect of preaching, is making people feel welcome and feel glorified. What are actually their qualities? not artificial, looking for people's qualities. Everybody has something worth glorifying, you know, so on. And you point that out, they feel, the person knows, okay, nice reception, and then? Nice prasad. And then you start talking culture, philosophy, everything else. Yeah. And Mars, Prabhupada directly shows through Dhamma Mars, one of the big scientists, how this thing worked. Before the guy was arguing about everything. After prasad, he was agreeing, he was coming up with scientific evidence to support Prabhupada's position. So Prabhupada cut it through Dhamma Mars. Yeah, a good plate of prasad was a lot more preaching than. Yeah, so that's it, you know. So very, very practical programs. But yeah, it comes to this point of intellectual stimulation, and then we have it. We can satisfy people with our ideas and culture. So I was going back and forth myself. Everybody's got to work out their own preaching program. Well, some kind of presenting this is what we've done. Maybe some people will directly be stimulated, others will want to. And the Bhaktivedanta Institute, I helped them. I got it incorporated. I did the legal work. I dealt with them. Almost all scientists are crazy. Right? You know this. Sir Isaac Newton and who's the other guy? Leibniz. Newton and Leibniz had this incredible battle going on. Niels Bohr and Einstein. Very, very intellectual, in many cases very emotionally messed up, you know. So you guys are all nuts. So he was, Sudhamra Maharaj and Vasaraj and Sadaputra, you start finding out about these things like that, you know. Who was stealing whose shoes? Blaming somebody else. So I was the only sane person there. That's all. So anyway, other people I'm sure have a totally different view of what was happening, being involved like that. But I felt like I was contributing that in terms of this. And also because everybody, to be a scientist, you've got to be an expert on one thing, right? PhD thesis means you to know, I'm studying Hare Krishna's, and specifically I'm studying the Dhruva, and specifically I'm studying the earring in his nose, and specifically I'm studying the spot on the earring, which is oxidized. That's what you've got to be in your science. The Bhagavad Gita calls this knowledge in the mode of ignorance, to know one thing and think it's everything. You know? But that's what science means and stuff. So someone like Sadhguru, remember, he would be arguing with the doorkeeper in Bombay about something. So Sukhnamaraj would come along and kind of turn him towards the Nobel laureate. And he would just go on with the same laser cannon activity, just kind of pointing in the right direction and back off. You know, so once he's going, it's a whole combination. These Nobel laureates, when it came time for the lunch break or the coffee break, they'd all just all look at their watches, they would go back. And Mother Maharani was a great cook. She did not know the difference between an atom and a molecule. Like that. I don't know how many ladies are atom and a molecule. She didn't know, you know. But she was an incredible cook. The Nobel laureates were talking to her and taking different things and asking questions, you know. And she would say, the books are just as good. She said, give me a couple. Because she can cook like this. So everybody, I surrendered. Okay, Prabhupada wants this. What can I do? I can be the treasurer. I got the incorporation for it. Nobody else could do it. That was hard work. I was helping with the emotional conflicts. Then I realized my nature is cultural anthropology. Try to live right there. Okay. Cultural anthropology. And so then I was looking at scientists as a cultural anthropologist and all this kind of stuff from psychological level and social level. Then I could fit in. In terms of direct preaching, it's not so direct. Because you're not directly preaching to the scientists, but you're preaching about scientists and that area like that. And beyond that, you see how the thing's working. When it came time to index the books, they were on all these different science subjects. Nobody had a broad enough, you know, superficial knowledge to do it. So I ended up indexing the books and so on. So everybody, you find your position. Find your position in the Sankirtan movement. That's our whole message here. That's education. Our philosophy of education. Education means helping people find their position in the Sankirtan movement. Rahu and Ketu, what's their position in Vastu?
Southwest.
Huh?
Southwest.
Yeah, they're doorkeepers. You got these guard dogs that stand in front and bark at people. Rahu and Ketu fit very well at the front doors, Southwest.
Who are you? Why are you here? What are you here for? What's your credentials? Okay, go ahead.
And you go give them some prasadam every now and again, and they're happy. Yeah, like that.
Our master, yeah, okay.
Yeah. Looking for a fight, yeah. So everybody can fit in. Jayananda was really incredible about that. It's really very fortunate to have his association. It's a whole thesis, but I think he was an incarnation of Prahlad Maharaj. I got pretty good evidence. He was not an ordinary human being. And so anyway, anybody who came in contact with him, he would just draw them right into the devotional service. It was amazing like that. I'll tell you one story. He would go out every morning, not every morning, some mornings before Madhava Arati, get his big red band, he'd grab a couple of bhaktas, he would go off and sing the Madhava Arati song and everything else, and driving. They would go to the produce market in San Francisco, which is gigantic, and that's one of the biggest tourist areas in the world, early morning. And so he'd get all this stuff and come back and then, you know, put it away, cheap vegetables. So for Ratha Yatra, he wanted to get some bananas. So the guy had the biggest banana business in San Francisco. It was Banana King Louie, and he had maybe four boats supplying bananas. Behind his desk, he had a picture of himself like 5 feet tall with his face there. Do not ask what Banana King Louie can do for you, but ask what you can do for Banana King Louie. Okay, that was safe. Okay. So Jayananda got him to get 25 cases of bananas for free. It spread all over the produce market. Everybody, you know, banana, Louis's gone bananas. he's Hare Krishna's, you know, it's every place, you know. And there's the guy right there that did it, you know, and stuff. Okay. So it went on a couple of years, and then Jayananda got, of course, leukemia. So he couldn't go and get the bananas. Devotees went in and said, oh, we're here to get bananas for our festival. And Louis said, yeah, take this note down to my foreman. And where's Jay? Where's Jay? Oh, he had leukemia and actually left his body and died. But Anna King Louis started crying. Such a nice person. Yeah, so someone like that probably says the super soul is working. You get a natural inclination for some people, but the more advanced you get in touch with the super soul, then you can see like how everybody can be engaged. And maybe it's not you who's going to engage them. Ah, you should talk to so-and-so. Come here. You know? And you send them off to the right person like that. That's dogs preaching to dogs. You know? Like, oh. Anyway. Okay, see how much traffic. Okay, so what happened? Yeah, Bhakti Sudhama Maharaj, Bhaktivedanta Institute. And we did several very, very powerful programs. We did a World Congress for the Synthesis of Science and Religion. Once in Bombay, once in Calcutta. And several Nobel laureates participating in very, very good exchanges of ideas about how science and religion should work together and produce something good for humanity. And not that they should give up their identity, no, just how they can work together and look at things in a very, very, very ingenious idea. Maharaj would do like that. And we had President of the World Council of Churches, Dalai Lama, President and Secretary General of the Indian Science Council, another president, what's his name? Somebody, Raman. Yeah, big people, very big people. You know. What's his name? John Searle. He was the University of California picks one person every year, all the professors, to deliver three learned talks on any subject he wants to give. And of course, these are great things. So John Searle was elected. He's a philosopher like that. So he came also. And he said he couldn't believe like the kind of like interesting intellectual debates that were going on. He said, this can't even go on in the West. And India is the place where we can talk about these things. He got in a fight with Sariputta over the origin of existence. They're going back and forth, and all the audience is watching, you know. Then afterwards, he said, Thompson, I'm not going to say I agree with your ideas, but you can play a good game of hardball. So very tremendous area for preaching, so many areas for preaching. And also we did one more, big one, which was the study of consciousness within science. The study of consciousness within science. I mentioned that before, right? But, you know, there are certain words you just don't say, right? Prabhupada went out in New York in the early days, walking around with the devotees. He saw the F word on the wall. He said, what is that? He said, what means sexual intercourse, Prabhupada? Oh, thank you, you know. So he came back and was giving his lecture, and he said, all these people want is... all the audience, he's 1960, so... You know, and Prabhupada said, oh, did I say something wrong? And, it's a very strong word, Prabhupada. Oh, I did not know. You know? So there's certain words you just don't say. So same way science is said. If you were at a science conference and you said consciousness, it was like that. It was because it was just like, oh, he's said the C word. Because it was like science, we explain anything, we know everything, but here's consciousness and this totally ungraspable from their method. So Nobel laureates were participating in this first international seminar on the study of consciousness within science. Very good, very effective. So very good programs. And at that point I kind of separated, you know, and started our NEOS, North American Institute for Oriental and Classical Studies. And with that, we've been doing all kinds of cultural educational programs, more like, you know, my perspective. And still working, we're working with Martin Maharaj and different programs, and more like, okay, what's going on? Give me the blessings. You know. Yeah. So it's been developing. It's a very nice area with cultural programs. And the last time around, July, we were in Peru again. And we found South America is very good because people down there, they're close enough to the industrialized society, but their character is still very oriental in many ways. So it's a very nice area for these two. These are called, like Greece, they're called countries of the middle ground. Greece actually is very oriental in its whole heritage and so on, but also it's like connected to this, you know, in Renaissance and so on. In Peru, in Italy, in Argentina, on every corner there is a pizzeria. In Peru, on every corner there is a Chifa Chinese restaurant. You know. The president of the country was Fujimori. it's got, you know, in the biggest chain of cinemas in Lima is owned by one Kana, Indian guy. You know, Peruvian people love to see women cry like that. Just like Indian movies are full of like, you know, women crying and stuff. You know, karaoke, they do like, you know, this is so on. Very in Indian movies and stuff. I see. You know, so it's a very good place. Very good place for, you know, for bringing these two things together and bringing reactions. You know. We did one program in the National Library Museum, National Museum of India, in Calcutta, which is really the most prestigious place to present there. After that is Ramakrishna Mission of Culture at the University of Calcutta. And Dr. Bandhapajaya, our good friend there, he was like, it's like somebody realizing, wow, yeah, I can cook for Krishna, I can, you know, it's okay, I can do these intellectual programs for Krishna. So programs that would have taken 1 year and a half to organize, we organized like in 5 months. The pressure was unbelievable. It was in Calcutta in the summertime, right? You know, and I had to use every trick I knew about controlling my diet and everything else. And it was inaugurated by Mukundakam Sharma, who's a former justice of the Supreme Court in India. Okay. And also in the evening with two more former governors of West Bengal over there, of course the museum people and everybody else. We were taking care of the international and national airfares. The museum was handling all the presentation and accommodations. They sent a letter to Mukundakam Sharma, like the day before he took off to come with his wife, saying, we haven't got people of your stature to receive you properly. He didn't get this. We finally got it and realized, like, 4 hours before the program, that nobody was going to receive the guy at the airport. Oh, God, yeah. So I paid a taxi driver something like 15,000 rupees to try and get to the traffic on time to pick him up. Whole thing's coming on. You know, it sold out every ticket they have for the auditorium. Okay, all the press is there. And then he called from the airport, Samaraj, there's nobody here to receive me, you know, so forth and so on. Well, what do I do? Our guy never made it. He said, no, I'll take care of it, don't worry. Nice guy. He just called the government of India. They sent an armored car with a red light on it. Clear, off the road, peasants. India. So anyway, we give a presentation. Presented the exact moment when he was supposed to speak. He walked into the auditorium, right up on the stage, and sat down. So it was going on like this for maybe like 3 days. The inaugural session was just incredible. We did a whole book out of this beautiful book, and you saw the release. And each day after that, the contribution of ancient India towards making a better world, you know, and very, very big top intellectuals were there. Architecture, education, as we got philosophy, medicine. Every single day, The museum director said, we usually get 40 people for each session, my specialty session. He said, I've never counted less than 100 people at each of these sessions like that. Do you want to do it again next year? So very, very incredible program, very successful, already recorded. And then I was, closing everything down and stop at Dr. Somers' house on the way out to Calcutta, finish the accounting, got on the airplane, went to Delhi, heading back, relax, wham! By the time I hit Atlanta, my mouth was bleeding, everything else. It took me four months to get my health back, except for white sores in my mouth, everything else. Okay. But it was worth it. And the book was just incredible. And incredible too, because what do Indians think they have to offer? Modern intelligent leaders, deans of universities and stuff. Who is the greatest philosopher in India? That's what India has to offer, is this philosophy. And who is the greatest of all those philosophers? Shankaracharya. Yeah. Ramakrishna has come down a lot. Shankaracharya is still very potent in terms of Indian consciousness and who they are and stuff like that. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is coming up, really is coming up. Yeah. So on. So that's the actual situation we're dealing with and stuff. So we have to address Shankara and what we think about him, who he is, what his philosophy is, what his culture is, and people say, okay, I see your point and stuff. Yeah. Yeah. So any questions at this point? I can go on for 7 days and 7 nights. So Peru, we're going on developing there. And there's a main thoroughfare, I forgot what it is, goes right in front of the National Library, the National Museum. Divide, it's a kind of sub-highway. She doesn't drive. Girls in Peru don't drive. America, every girl drives in America. Australia too, right?
Yeah.
In India, Manipur, they can dance across the street from memory like for 18 hours, but they can't drive a car. Yeah. It's a main thoroughfare. So the National Library is there. It's an incredible place. They have books from the colonial period and so much very wonderful culture there, very rich culture in South America. So we did across the street, maybe half the size, some psychiatric center. And we had one big guy there, other people. It was a good program. Radhika Raman came, Nigora Singer came, and good program, okay. And like next year or something, we got into Miraflores, which is the best cultural place, and we went into the city hall. And we got the head of the Psychiatric Association there. We got a really incredible cultural program. Our friend Oscar Nahers, his wife Anna, dancer, she acted out, danced the psychosis. It was heavy, and she got into it and stuff. And you can see what it's like being psychotic. It's not fun. In a great costume, everything else. The head of the Psychiatric Society, Eduardo Gaston Munde, is next to me. He's watching the whole thing. He's, wow, it's incredible. Yeah. So I did my presentation on Carl Jung and Srila Prabhupada, which matches up. Then afterwards, he got up and he said, I said, can Bernie talk? He said, I came to this kind of out of accommodation for some friends, but he said, it's just incredible. He said, I have a lecture ready, but forget it. He talked about his own history and stuff, and how he said, if there had been Jungian psychology in Peru when I got my diploma, I would have become a Jungian psychologist and stuff. So he introduced us then to the director of the National Library, Ramon Mujica. They go back to the Spanish time, they have gold mines, he was ambassador here. 14 years old, he and his father passed 2 days in the temple in Zurich. His father was ambassador. So he knows devotees right from the beginning. He's total devotee of Santa Rosa of Lima. Catholic Church considers like 12 people have achieved conjugal ras. What's her name? Teresa of Avila, John of God, Santa Rosa of Lima, and of course one we all know, Mother Mary. She had a baby by Jesus, by God. Yeah. So they've been talking about this, the feelings and stuff. It's there, but it's very confidential. So Santa Rosa of Lima, very intense personality, the whole history is any Brahmacharini can write follow Santa Rosa and stuff, So beautiful artwork and everything else, and pictures, and original paintings. So then he's okay, yeah, please come here. So we did a program, first conference, symposium on psychology and the sacred. And they put us in the basement, National Library, nice basement. We started off with Peter Brook Mahabharata, and then Ramon came out to see what was going on. He's going to look in. He couldn't get away. Peter Brook Mark caught him. Like that stuff. He said, stay for the entire time. He said, can you give me a copy? That's what's it called? Bootlegging. What's it called?
Pirating.
He said, yeah, I know. He's the head of the museum. Like, can you give me a copy? You know? And we had, again, all these psychologists we had before were there, and everybody else. They saw, wow, these are good people. And very good presentations, very intelligent. Intelligent presentations, very intelligent people. So I was wondering, what am I supposed to do? So right from the class, Bhagavatam class, before Prabhupada went all through Kundalini description, okay, Jung has these wonderful lectures on Kundalini Yoga, and you can match them up to our philosophy so nicely, what he's talking about, what he's experiencing. So I did that, thank you, Prabhupada. Perfect. So then last year, we got into the main library, okay, 3 nights. 40-foot-tall advertisements. All the universities, people standing in line 2 hours to get in, make sure they got a seat. And psychologists from New York, all over the world and stuff. Try to make it global, but we couldn't do it. Basically, Western Hemisphere. See, Cecilia Montero. She's head of social services for Chile. She finally decided, people are not statistics. So she got to turn her intelligence into this kind of stuff. And again, very good encounter, very, very good discussions. Okay, let's do it again. No, you do it. No, let's do it. So this year, now we're coming up to current time, we made them do most of the work and stuff, because we're shooting for 2018 for a big program and stuff. And it takes 2 years to organize these things, really, to do it properly. And so again, we did psychology and the sacred again. Okay. And here it is. The poster in Spanish, no problem. What does it say?
La psicología. La psicología y lo sagrado.
Yeah, it's close enough.
Free coffee?
Psychology and the sacred. We have thousands of these, not thousands, hundreds of these up at the universities. And a big one, again, 40 foot tall, 10 meter, to the side of the university. When people came in, this was the program everybody got when they came in. Full color, program like that, anything else. We're developing a great tight relationship with Jesuits. Us and Jesuits, get along really well and stuff. And now the Jesuits are directors of the Harvard School of Divinity. So it's like starting, things are connected and stuff. Harvard School of Divinity, along with Anuttama and what's his name? Radhakaraman. Organized a program on ISKCON, 50 years of theology, success or failure. 50th anniversary. ISKCON is a theological institution, and they had either a failure or a success. Intense, very big theologians, university, Harvard was sponsoring it, back and forth and everything else. And the conclusion was, for what you had to deal with, you guys have done a damn good job and stuff. And we want to hear from you. If you had any more conferences to organize them. There are some devotees in ISKCON who are first-class scholars in universities on the history of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. And there are a lot of history, a lot of other angles and stuff that we know that have led to where we're at and stuff. So there's the Jesuits getting a nice little relationship. Sufis, Sufis first, wow, it's incredible the comparison. Almost nothing in difference in our philosophy and stuff. They're all talking about then, we're not talking about the paraphernalia, karma, we're not talking about the rituals, we're not talking even about philosophy and theology. We're talking about the direct experience through your music, through your poetry, through your art, through your meditations and stuff like that. Dhyana level. So this brings it right up to a level where people can really cooperate and work together. And Carl Jung probably said of all the Western psychologists, all Western philosophers, he has the most sense. And it's worked out that way. People in the West who like you, who know about you, can very easily relate to India and our culture and philosophy. So along with the program, we published a second edition of Solaris, of the Sun, and one Nobel laureate candidate. And we did it in Spanish and English last year, but this year was not enough time to go into English, and so we had too much work in front of us. But again, one guy in Spain, the one he's asked him to write for, a very prominent person, he said, I'm really busy, I wish you well. They showed him a copy last year, he's looking through it, and he said, I made a big mistake. Look at that. You know, I should have been in here too. So any moment the whole thing can fall apart. I'm just like a little person now at this point, really. I'm not being humble. This whole thing has gone to a point where it's just, you know, running by itself in many ways, and we're trying to like adjust it and so on. So if you're interested in psychology of the sacred, you got that? Then stay with us. Get on the airplane, go to Chile, directly south. And there, finishing off here, we've had the same thing. It's a step by step. You develop your work, right? You do your thing. You know? So we had success, a lot of success with Hamlet and Arjuna. Hamlet and Arjuna. So many, profound, broad, you know, relationships between these two characters and their lives and what's going on, and the topics they're dealing about. What happens when you die? You know, that's a tremendous part of Hamlet and everything else. What is remarriage? What's the word? Remarriage, right? Is that legitimate? Once the husband takes him off or dies or goes to a foreign country, doesn't come back, you should follow him by entering into a fire, taking sati. How many ladies here are planning on taking sati? Okay. Parasara says, Prabhupada says, said, yeah, that's first class, like Vishnu Priya. You know, one grain of rice for every mantra. Okay, yeah. Or else, you know, sati. Second class is if you don't get remarried, but enjoy life. Yeah. Third class, you remarry after 6 years. And Kali Yuga is still progressing. Husband dies, takes sannyas, goes to a foreign country. Maybe big moral fall down, doesn't recover, and so on. So it's a very, very practical discussion in Hamlet about this whole point of remarriage and stuff. And very intense. I mean, it deals with it. So I get tired of doing this. They say, you've got to do it again. Raul Zurita, poet laureate for the country, 80 years old, he actually had translated Hamlet into English, Hamlet into Spanish, which is a really difficult job, tough job. Our presentation starts off with Romeo and Juliet. In fair Verona, where we lay our scene, two families both alike in dignity, from ancient grudge break forth to new mutiny, and civil blood makes civil hands unclean. Try and translate that to any language. Yeah. So he did it. He's just that level of a person. He sold his books out like 3 times or something. He said, okay, I know Hanuman Swami is very nice. We met for one garden thing. I want to come and listen. But please be the, you know, chief guest. Okay, you know. So he was on stage. Incredible cultural program. Very nice. Then after that, National Library again, packed full. And I gave my presentation, bringing out some of these points, you know, about Hamlet, if you know the story. The ghost comes to him of his father and said, I didn't die a natural death. I was killed by your uncle who poisoned me. You have to revenge me by killing him. Okay. And Hamlet doesn't want to do this. He doesn't want to kill his uncle, call his mother, you know, for what she's done. She got remarried right after that, you know. The cooked meats for the funeral feast did but do double duty as cold cuts at the wedding feast. This is quick, you know. Yeah. Okay. So he has to do all this stuff. He says, time is out of joint. Oh, cursed spite that I was ever born to set it right. Yeah, okay. He put Arjuna's comment, same thing for the Bhagavad Gita and Vyasadevas. Same problem. Social confrontation, civil war, you know, civil blood makes civil hands unclean. Yeah. Don't want to do it. You know. What is the impetus? What is the motivation? Yeah, both of them deal with this. You know. To be or not to be. To take arms against the sea of corvids, and by opposing in them, to die, to sleep, perchance to dream. Ah, there's the problem. Because who knows what dreams may come after we have shuffled off this mortal coil. So Arjuna, same thing. I'll just go away, Krishna. I'll walk away. I'll go to the forest. I'll sit down on this chant 145 rounds every day. He knows he can't do it, you know. So Arjuna's situation is damned if you do, and damned if you don't. Yeah. Same as Hamlet kills his uncle. I was going to say, oh, you murdered your uncle, you know, so you could become the king. Doesn't do it. He's father's ghost is, you know, haunting him and stuff, you know. So Arjuna could surrender to Krishna. You know? Hamlet had some kind of introspection. Nature was teaching him. Hamlet's conclusion is, all of us have a destiny. Everybody here has a destiny. And it may be roughly cut, but still, you know, it's a certain amount of money you're going to work, make a certain amount of prestige you'll have, and all we can do is play that part well. You know, just take it up and do it well. And so on. So not a bad conclusion. Not a bad philosophy of reality. So that program was successful. And the other one we did, big one, was Carl Jung, right? Science, and Psyche, and Spirituality. The Encounter of Carl Jung with the Ancient Bhagavad Philosophy of India. And this was at, Santiago is divided into different districts. So one of the best, Los Condes, one of the best ones, and very, very good cultural hall. They approached them, they said yes. They had the auditorium held about 250. They set up a video room to hold about 350 more. And 650 people came on a Thursday night to get in, you know. And I was getting up there. These things are tense, you know. And one lady, an Indian lady, was a Bharatanatyam dancer. And she's hit, not fat, but, you know, well-boned and big girl and stuff, you know. But I've never seen better Bharatanatyam dancing. She does it. She was really big and stuff. Really big, good show. And I was thinking, okay, let's go on the Bharatanatyam all night, you know. Look at the audience, you know. So just before I was supposed to go on stage, who comes back from Valparaiso? Rahul Sarita running in. Oh, Hanuman Swami, I wanted to see this also. God, you know, those guys. So I bowed down in front of him, put his head on my hand, He's, when you're with him, a nice person. He's the devotees tell me you're taking him back to his house. He's 80 years old. When he was looking at me, I felt that anything I could possibly do would not consume more than 30% of his intelligence. That and stuff, you know. So she's looking at our translation. She said, "Oh, nice, nice, good, good, good. Don't worry." But this word doesn't mean that. Oh, thank you. So anyway, he came. It was the other thing. It's, you know, we did the same thing. Taking Prabhupada's words, learning the philosophy, developing it all here, and developing your ideas and everything else. Get to know the people, their environment, and so many of the questions are the same questions. So you're ready for the questions, you know. You know how to deal with it and so on, like that. And then again, it was very, very tremendously successful program. Jung is a tremendous resource for us. He's a tremendous resource for communicating people. He's a very nice community of people, like that.
So it's kind of about, that's enough.
With a minute, those two things, NEOS and the Ministry of Education. Okay. With the Ministry of Education, we're trying to develop school programs, instructive education, all this kind of stuff. And we have a magazine now, Viplava, which is in the English language, like that. And it should be coming out quarterly, so I try to do with everything else. And right, the first issue, everybody wanted subscriptions and everything else, like that, and so on. And hopefully, ISKCON's growing, right? We're growing. So now it's time that maybe we can support a magazine, and after that we can start supporting the integration of our educational efforts and so on. We have so many powerful programs, and less powerful, all over the place, but not like integrated, working together. I mean, how many Sunday school curriculums are there in ISKCON? I don't know, I mean, full detail, maybe 15 major, no more than that, 25 major full curriculums for Sunday school, you know, materials and everything else like that and so on. So you start right here and you start, you know, no, it's all there. You know? And we're trying to, like, we got a grant for $10,000 to try and produce one integrated program that everybody can use. Your parents, they move from Australia to England, and you can go to the same Sunday school program. So, you know? And very potent. Good Sunday school program for the kids. You know, they want to go. Good program. It's the most fun thing the whole week. You know? Yeah. So, that's our presentation. Our sankirtan. Hare okay, bye. So, any questions, comments, complaints? Yeah. Yeah. Back home, back to God, yes. Here, I should. What's your quote? He knows Shakespeare. He knows it. See, I told you, break it down. It's embarrassed. Say it with feeling. Microphone.
All men
just knowing.
Hey, you know, wait a second. Pass the microphone. Clear your throat first. Okay, now he's going to reveal his British roots.
I'm Irish. Only now that none know it so well to shun the presence of heaven that lead to the gates of hell.
Oh, again, one more time. Shakespeare wasn't, probably said you can teach Shakespeare in the Guru Kula. If you want to understand word power, study Shakespeare. Gopi Paranadana told me he heard probably give an entire lecture in London on the Merchant of Venice. It wasn't recorded, I don't think. And then afterwards, he found it in Bengali, Vanishavanic. Vanishavanic, a really good translation like that. Yeah. So these are different areas. I mentioned the Krishna art books. You know those big Krishna art books? Mm. Two devotees were going from temple to temple in the U.S. They would go out, they would sell maybe 15, 25 books a day, $100 each, $300 each. The devotees would try and follow them. What are they doing? How are they doing it, you know? They were selling them to tattoo parlors. They go and show them. People were picking out these books. I want that one and stuff, you know? Yeah. So yeah, you just keep on looking. And you find out some place you can relate to. And if it works, do it. You know? But other times, that's your nature, you can develop it and so on. You know? Other people, so it's a whole big world. Big world. So,
you didn't finish the purport, the last paragraph in that purport.
Okay. Philosophy and science should be engaged to establish the glory of the Lord. Advanced people are eager to understand the absolute truth through the medium of science. Yes. And therefore a great scientist should endeavor to prove the existence of the Lord on a scientific basis. Similarly, philosophical speculation should be used to establish the supreme truth as sentient, neediness, and all-powerful. Similarly, all other branches of knowledge should always be engaged in the service of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, also the same is affirmed. All knowledge not engaged in the service of the Lord is but nescience. Real utilization of advanced knowledge is to establish the glories of the Lord. And that is the real import. Scientific knowledge engaged in the service of the Lord and all similar activities are factually Hari Kirtan, or glorification of the Lord. So this whole project here is nothing but, if you make it Sankirtan, we're here to have a simple, peaceful life. I will never make it. We're here because we want to show people who Krishna is, and this is the place to show it. The Sankirtan spirit that people think, what are we doing? Not to have a low income, you know, live without a lot of money, and live peacefully, and I'm part of the Sankirtan part. Please, people want to come here, it all pulls together nicely and stuff. Okay? You grow up on this one at a time. Anybody here crazy? Okay. Oh, you need psychologists. There's also some problem with them too, but basically they're a lot better than most people. Most psychologists. Piaget, the child psychologist, he says, child sacrifices his ecstasy because children get become ecstatic. They sacrifice that to become civilized adults. And the thing is to re-educate people how to get this in a healthy way rather than through alcohol and stuff like that. It's an essential part of human satisfaction is ecstasy. You see that? How to get it in a healthy way. So, thank you all very much. Now it's time for the Gaur Aarti. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So Prabhupada ki jai. Back home. Boy, it's a lot. So Prabhupada is a person. Well, one last one. We're doing this. It started because of Bhakti Sudhana Maharaj. Bhakti Sudhana Maharaj did it because of Prabhupada. I can see some cases where exact lines, one after another, in the universities came from University of Calcutta, Dr. Samaraj Bandhavadaya, Hanapri Sakswami, Bhakti Sudhana Maharaj. Line is right there. And all the universities in India now are studying science of science and history. Where does it start? Well, it started in Calcutta. Where do we get better? Where did they get it? They got it from Bhakti Dr. Samarek. Where did he get it from me? Where did I get it from Dhamma Maharaj? So Prabhupada said so much more after he left his body. It didn't stop. Oh, the evil Swami is dead. Okay, no. Things are going on more and more. Prabhupada's influence level is even more potent because now people got to take responsibility and get a personal connection with him. So this is very, very nice, you know. Program for realizing problems of glory and stuff. Tomorrow, of course, two of our moments.
Yes, indeed. Now that you've got 20 more minutes to go around.
Okay, any questions?
Well, Prabhupada said the Chinese would become the best devotees.
Last to join the most faithful.
I would like to hear your thoughts on that.
What devotee is his name? Jaya Madhava, California. He was the first Japanese devotee. And he said when he joined, he was so attracted, he knew when he joined, his family would lose prestige, lose face. Because he was taking a vow to a non-Japanese master. He said he had to do it. He said, sure enough, his family was still invited to weddings and stuff like that, but he had to keep a low profile because his son had taken a vow to a non-Japanese master. But he said if he went back and left Prabhupada and joined Japanese culture, his family would have had to have killed themselves. It would have been so humiliating. Because once you take a vow to a master, even the wrong master, So that was very... One other friend, that was his name, Krishna Balaram Das, he studied Chinese studies at Dirty Mouth College on Hangover, Virginia, Dartmouth College, that's what they call it there. From Dartmouth, and he said many Chinese people cannot digest milk, the enzymes not there and stuff, also alcohol, so they just get nauseous and a different kind of physiology. So there's no fineness in the diet. The milk supply is tremendously important for supplying this fineness and intelligence. So what do you do instead? Everybody learns a little bit and you develop an unlimited sort of civil service system. Right? It's famous. It's historically Chinese. There's tests and stuff. And heaven is designed like this. So everybody knows their position, right? And they work together and they fit in like that. The glory is how you fit in like that and so on. You know? So same way, that's, last to come, because when you come, well, Prabhu, I just, sorry, Guru Maharaj, I just couldn't shut my mouth. So, don't say that. You go and kill yourself. Yeah. So that's to come the most faithful. What they do in the same way as to us fit in. And expecting there's a certain kind of perspective, like at least that and so on, being very systematic, for example, Bhakta Riksha. I've heard there was a consideration amongst China to make looking for a national religion if that they're actually considering that Krishna consciousness.
Really?
That would change the game, mate.
Right.
I'm a Hare Krishna. Oh, would you like chop suey? No, it's amazing. Krishna can do whatever he wants to do. It's amazing. Prabhupada says, the magic will not be done by you, nor me, nor any living being. The magic will be done by Krishna when we become pure devotees of Krishna. I remember that word. So yeah, fine. Find your job. Hasn't got to be a big job. Okay. Awesome. You know what the greatest Chinese classic is? I preach to Chinese people. I am a Chinese monk trapped in a white man's body. Someone else feels like a man trapped in a woman's body. I was born on Guam. The stork showed up with a Chinese monk. The white woman says, not my problem, fellas, sign here. So since I was a little boy in California, I always attracted Chinese culture. Even now, the Lady Bhagavad is what we look like the most. So, attracted whatever world classical literature is an excuse for reading good books. So, Journey to the West is one translation of it. Another one is Sun Wukong. Sun Wukong, how do you pronounce it? Sun Wukong. Or Monkey. If you look on the Wikipedia, you can find the whole thing there. It's one of the great five classics or something. So one The great, and it's a true story, one monk in the 4th century or something went all the way to India with his followers and traveled around for years and brought all this stuff back to China in the basis of several schools of thought. And then different like, you know, adventure stories developed around it. In the 14th century, somebody put it all into one book, which became the standard, thing like that. So this is how Chinese people figure out who they are. Again, Americans figure out who they are with the next James Bond movie. You know, you see, James Bond, you can look at the whole history of America since the 1960s, 70s, 60s. You can see how James Bond has changed. You know, if he hadn't changed, he would have, you know, become a dead man. And now the last ones are very psychological and all this kind of stuff, very advanced. You know? So yes, the Chinese people, you know, big Chinese monk, Mahapati Swami's preaching here. He said, Maharaj, why are you focusing on these things? He has a servant who was this big, you know, Buddhist monk, Kung Fu guy. He said, no, Maharaj, Hanuman Swami is correct. If you know Sun Wukong, you know Chinese people. And it's very easy to read. It's a fun, fun book. A recent translation came out in Spanish, and also University of Chicago about 5 years ago did a really good translation with a good foreword about the philosophy. Because the philosophy is there, but it's expected. You'll know Taoist philosophy, you'll know Buddhist philosophy, because it's kind of brought in. So at the beginning, it goes to explain what the five elements are, the, you know, Pan Moon, all this kind of stuff. The whole history, culture is still there, still coming along. China is Confucius, still very powerful. And then Taoist philosophy and Buddhist philosophy. And then some ancestor worship which ties into that. It's still there, you know? Who are we? Science doesn't answer the question all that well. You know? And so then, we'll go back into these roots and stuff. So you'll see every single generation, and you almost always more than that, but every 10 years maximum, there'll be a new edition of Sun Wukong coming out. The Japanese did like a, what was that, 35 series half-hour shows. It was right after school on Thursday. And all these kids, that would just run home and watch this. They would go in the backyard and put on cakes. act it out and stuff. They know it. The great Tang Emperor, right? His name? Tang. The great Tang Emperor has Karmakanda scriptures. They got Yamaraj everything in Chinese culture. How do you have to do this different ritual, save people, okay, Karmakanda? How do you get out of this cycle altogether? So he sends a monk to Pikata to see Tathagata Buddha, right, on the Vulture Mountain. And he has a tough time and all these adventures and so on. So one celestial monkey, you know, Sun Wukong, and Pig, and other people help him and go on. And all these lessons along the way, how to deal with your wife and how to deal with your husband and philosophy. And it's just, yeah. So one of the most recent productions were Jackie Chan and Jet Li. Doesn't matter what movie you have those two people there, it's going to be like, So he did that's what it's called, Forbidden Kingdom. A really good presentation. He took part of it out. And it finishes off this whole adventure and saving from the evil warlord and releasing the Monkey King and, you know, plastic things. The monk, Tripikata, this boy from Boston, who went back and became the monk, he's then finishing off. And, you know, just as soon as you're on your path, everybody has their path, you know, and it's going someplace incredible, mysterious. And as soon as one adventure is finished, another one started. That's the philosophy is communicating. It's not a bad philosophy. You're looking for, you know, challenges in life to your character and everything else. And just, so here's a road, there's a path. Mm-hmm. Paramatma. Yeah. Okay, so, you know, show them Paramatma philosophy in the Bhagavad Gita. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Good book you can read now. Sam Wukong, Jackie Chan, Jet Li, you know, people feel guilty about it. It's a good movie. The Monkey King is trapped by the evil warlord, the stone thing. The kids try to save him, this and that, and finally he overcomes his weakness of character. The warlord's knocking everybody down, everybody is being destroyed. So finally he smashes the statue, it breaks into 1,000 people, everybody's carried this way, there's no statue, and all of a sudden it all comes back and reintegrates. There's the Monkey King like that. And Jet Li looks at the warlord says, my turn. Great, yes. The hero wins. Haribo. And the hero gets the girl. Okay. Haribo. So I
no, but can this identification, it's like a massive population identifying with, I'm thinking Upari,
yeah.
I'm thinking misidentification.
Yeah, yeah.
But can those identities that they equate their culture with somehow be blended into this finding of the Sankirtan bot?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Stimulating. If, you know, you're always going to give, okay, some people are going up, some people aren't. Those people are going up, they're always looking for, because they know this is iconographic, there is no James Bond, whatever, and there's certain things missing, and you know, you're looking, you're missing things, and so on. So this is all we're saying, this is exactly what Narada Muni is telling Vyasadeva. He didn't describe the real, ultimate heroine. He says, has to be a heroine who never fails to protect his followers. That's the ultimate definition he's giving for Krishna, Narada Muni to him. Infallible hero never fails to save his followers. Mm. So here we have it.
Yeah.
Our descriptions of the beautiful are coming down to somebody. And we're not getting rid of anything else. We're just realizing, yeah, this is money for the whole country converted because of that. They had Kampa and Toyni, very beautiful pantheistic story and nomadic story. Then the Vaishnavism came there, going to Vaishnavism, and they just thought, yeah, this is it. The whole country, the king called everybody, changed their names, burned the old scriptures, and they all became guru lifestyles. Yeah. They still, some of the scriptures escaped, still went on, but definitely this, they were in a very high position to understand Radha and Krishna. You know? And the conjugal love is the real essence of all these things. You know? Now, our conjugal love now is ridiculous. We're presenting the movies and everything else, and you know, it's gross, you know, very, you know, nothing. But there was so covered and so many fine things and stuff in the story. And so Radha Krishna came along and being presented with Ujjwala and Nirvani. He said, yeah, this is what we saw. Yeah.
Very good.
Okay.
Okay.
Radha Krishna. Yes. Radha Krishna.
Radha more. All right, we still have 8 minutes. Still have 8 minutes.
Surely you have a question.
Eight minutes.
Any ladies have a question?
Or Mari
Manjari?
Okay, Canadian accent's pretty similar. Wait, what was it? It's a Liverpool accent?
What's that?
The Aussie? Canadian. It's not the, you're not speaking the Queen's English.
Not exactly.
Is it Liverpool?
Couple.
A lot of Irish.
Huh?
A lot of Irish.
Okay.
The North.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Mix.
Mix, Geordie, North or Irish.
The BBC has a 5-hour series, it's on YouTube now, on the history of the English language. It's very interesting how we got where we are. I found out how canals was spelled that way. And it goes into like modern English, it goes into Australian English and how it's developing stuff and so on. That's how sannyasi serves God with his mind, body, and words. So language and communication is like being able to find the words people use like that. So, yeah.
The other day, Maharaj, you mentioned that architecture was very good. How does linguistics stand?
Well, that's what it was all about, in Sanskrit. There's different branches of language in Sanskrit, right? I don't know them all, but like there's grammar, there's vocabulary, poetic rules. Rupa Goswami has a whole book on the whole thing on poetry and so on. Ramananda Roy is writing his Rupa Goswami is writing it. Ujjwala Bhagavatamala and Vidagamala. And Lord Chaitanya has Ramananda Roy go through and examine in terms of following the rules and regulations of poetry. And he says, yeah, it precisely follows those and stuff. He's understood. So there's vocabulary, there's grammar, different names, and then there's poetry, rules and regulations. Our Manipuri program, we were traveling, and this is the Dharma Veda, what we're doing, singing, dancing, and drama. And we did these shows, and we would do, heavy drum shows, and everybody would get enthusiastic, and really good. And even then we finished off with the Vasudeva. And Manipuri goes on for, moonrise to moonset, every note written down. Strictly following Narottam Das and everything. So we do this, and it's all there. The Vibhava is there. The simulation, the postures, and this kind of stuff. And these go beyond the language. One little kid was walking back into her classroom with her teacher, and she said, "You know, I don't speak Manipuri language, but I think I understand it." Yeah, it goes right beyond that, the understanding. So when we were selling tickets to one place to go to California, we were working in a bicycle shop and selling tickets, a very kind of cultural place in a very small town in the mountains, pretty well. And then one lady came back in on Monday, and she said, "You know, Joseph, Jivanuga, I bought tickets for myself, my husband, my two boys, and boy, they were waiting for me. Like, you know, you're going to drag us off on a Saturday night to an Indian dance program. We can sit there for 2 hours and watch this thing." So I went into this thing. They said that it was incredible. The kids just were loving what we call the dancing. And she said, "I've been married for 15 years. Never seen my husband cry one time. But during that last thing, I saw him wiping his eyes." Because as Radha and Krishna, you can understand enough of the story. They're playing holy. First Krishna comes dancing. It's beautiful, you know. And the little lyrics. And the gopis come like that, very shy. "I'm a really good-looking guy. You're good-looking girls. It's a great night. What about having a dance?" That's the only thing we can think about. I mean, they start dancing together. And people have said, my Prabhupada said, it's going through the actors and actresses. It's very pure. It's going right through them. And then a devotee is saying, they say, "Come myself, so you can see that they're trying to transmit it. You can this with the rock, you know, it's light. The music is perfect. The dancing and everything else." You say, "Wow, this is better than basketball." You know, it's incredible. And then Krishna starts throwing flowers, powered by Radharani, and really arresting him. She's like going down like this, and the gopis stop. "Naiko, Naiko, stop it, dude." You know, check Radharani. And then they say, "And now you're supposed to see the power of women, Krishna." They start taking after Krishna, and he's running here and there. Then Radharani is becoming nervous. She stops her friends, and then the music drops down, and she's picking him up and wiping her from his face with his sorry. And then finally everything is adjusted and forgiven. They finish off with this jubilation, dancing, and the conch shells are blowing, the arti is going on with big candles, and you know, "Hare Bol, Hare Krishna," Maha Mantra three times like that. Then I look at the control booth, you know, we got ready 37, ready 57, 57 ready, go 57, the lights all drop. One, we're going to feel the audience. You ready? 58. Go 58. If you get it just right, they'll rise up and start applauding. They think, "We just wanted to give them a standing ovation." No, you got it just right to catch that, and the light's coming up. That's Vibhava. So you're helping them feel these things that they never could feel by themselves and stuff. And the actors come on just the right time, and the drum makers open, the martial makers and stuff, and then catch it, go 59, drop it. So you can really, in the field of drama, these ordinary Western people, pretty much ordinary, would come, and they would, and then after that, the science program was parallel. Prabhupada said both, cultural program and science program, always. People saw the cultural program, and they were convinced that you've got something. It you know, touches us beyond the gross level like that. So what's your idea? Let's hear that. Yeah. Okay. So Prabhupada, look, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, there's somebody else. She may be somebody else. Okay. So Prabhupada,
Kidai.
Joy. Mr. Mahamantra,
Kidai.
Joy. Your idea, Kidai.
Joy.
So Prabhupada,
Kidai. Joy.
He's holding the Sanama Prashaksma.
Yeah.
Okay. Double your salary.